Well, I want to continue on in a series in Ephesians, and today we're going to talk about living by the Spirit in the family. You know, we talked about this idea of living by the Spirit in our marriages. Now he wants us to look just beyond our marriage to see that we have the opportunity to live by the Holy Spirit in our relationship with our children and their relationship with us. So I want to look at that together. If you have your Bible with you this morning, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Just going to read four verses there take some time to discuss ideas and thoughts that come out of this passage. Verse 1 of chapter 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise," part of the Ten Commandments, "so that it may turn out well for you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." As we look at this passage, it's so important for us to live in the Spirit in our families, to live by the direction of the Holy Spirit in our families. That is such a critical thing, and it's certainly very important for where we are as a nation with the challenges that we face. You know, they tell us that most children that practice devious things or are incarcerated or filled with bitterness and have personal struggles in their relationships, it's because of what happened in their family. Their family was a mess. Their family was broken. Their family, for whatever reason, was not living not only by what we would call a natural law, but also by a divine law that God has given in His Word. So as we look at this, the word obey there, that is the primary verb there. And it's in an imperative, which is a form of a command. Children are to obey their parents. And he says there, first of all, in the Lord, and then secondly, he says, "for this is right." I want to talk to you, first of all, about this part of the verse. Reasons children are to obey their parents. There are several reasons, but I want to highlight three of those. First of all, one is that a child who obeys his parents will regularly be warned from harm's way. Have your parents ever told you to do something that you really didn't want to do, but in the end you saw that it was a good thing? I think I've told this story before. I remember one time when I was an early teenager and wanted to hang out with some older boys in our neighborhood. They had asked me to do that, and I wanted to. Man, that was a great thing. Something that was important to me, to hang out with them. Well, my parents said no, I couldn't do that. I couldn't spend the night with them over at a friend's house. And I remember going to my room for the rest of the evening. I was just sulking. I was mad. at them. I was angry at them saying, no, don't do that. You can't do that. And I remember the next day, my dad and I were pulling out of the driveway, and I saw this tree that looked like it had been hit. And sure enough, I found out that these guys got in a car, started driving it, and ran into that tree. And if I had been with them, I would have been a part of that. But I am so thankful that my mom and dad stood their ground and said, no, you can't, even though it meant it was hard for them or my attitude was not right toward them because of that. And if children will listen to us, you know, when your child is about to reach out and touch the stove, what you tell them not to do that. Why? Because you're being a good parent. You are striving to deliver them from harm. And many times what we find is that our parents do know best. As we get older, we discover that, oh yeah, my dad was right about that, or my mom was right about that. And they had done that for what purpose? To deliver you from harm, to deliver you from the challenges that you might be facing in life. There's another reason for children being obedient, and that is that they will be spared from bad habits and bad friends. You know, a lot of times in our life, we become like the people that we spend the most time with. And if the people that you as a child are spending the most time with, this is true for adults too, if they are negative, if they are always cursing, then you're going to pick up those same habits in your life. This is not just for children, but it's also true for us. It's more true for children. Why? Because a child is at a place in their life where they are wanting to be accepted. They're somewhat naive in the process. And so one of the things that we as parents must do is we must help them navigate that. And when we do help them to navigate, children are to obey us. Not because we're some mighty person who knows exactly everything that's going to happen, but because we sincerely love them. Isn't that what it says in Hebrews chapter 12? Why is it that God disciplines us? He disciplines us because we don't know what the future holds. He disciplines us and leads us in that process to be the very best that we can possibly be. A third reason is a child who obeys and honors his parents will prosper in that. Such a person will be far more likely to develop healthy character traits. When your children are listening to you, they're going to be far more willing to hear what you say. They're going to be far more willing to adopt what you believe. They are going to be far more willing to live out the character that is going to make them whole. It says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27, kind of harsh here, but it says, the eye that mocks a father that scorns obedience to a mother will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. This passage of Scripture says to us, for this is right. These are just three reasons here why this is the right thing and why children are to obey their parents. He also goes on to say, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that, if you have that in your scripture, so that it may turn out well for you and that you may live long on the earth. That's the promise. When you obey, when you follow the leadership of godly parents, then you are going to experience the best life possible, and you're going to experience living life to its fullest in our life. So that's the first thing that I want to talk about. This Greek word that is used here, this for obey, is a word that is translated as listen under. When you and I listen to what our parents are saying to us, we are acting with an attitude of obedience, respectfulness, honoring them, acknowledging that that is exactly what I need to be doing. It is to, have you ever said to your kids, listen to me? What were you saying when you did that? It's simple, but it's hard to live by. God wants for our children to listen to us and to obey us. Now, when it says in the Lord, you know, God is not telling you that you are to obey your parents if they're asking you to do something that is against what the Word of God says. He is not asking you to obey your parents when they are asking you to do something immoral, something that you know God would not approve of. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, come in this moment, listen to your parents with an attitude of listening to the Lord. It's not that your parents are, you know, God, but your parents represent Him. And your parents are the ones that give you the opportunity to hear what God has to say to you and to me. One of the things in this passage that is very important for us to hear what God has to say is, for this is right. Why is it right for us to listen to what the Lord wants to say? Because it is from God. It is His authority expressed through our parents and on to our children. That is something that God Himself wants us. We're going to talk about parents in just a minute, but it's something that God Himself wants for us to do, wants for us to receive that blessing in our life. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18 says, discipline your son while there is hope. You wondered what that means? Discipline your son while, this would be true for a daughter too. Discipline your son or daughter while there is hope. They are still under your authority. They are still under your discipline. Because there's going to be a time when that's not always the case. You know, a lot of times parents will try to discipline their children at an older age. Discipline is most effective when it's done early and often. It's not when it's done when in the future, sometime in the future, your child goes astray or does something that is not pleasing to you. Proverbs 15:32 says, anyone who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever listens to correction acquires good sense. That's the attitude that we are to have when we come to a parent or we come to a situation that we are now involved in. We need to listen to their wisdom. We need to listen to how God may be speaking through them to me. How God is at work in the life of children. So I talked about this promise so that it may turn out well for you and that you may live long on the earth. Verse 4 says this, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I do think there's a reason why he said fathers. I think it applies to both of us as parents, but if you are a father in the home, your task is to discipline your children according to the way that God would have you discipline them. That is our role. That is our place as fathers in the home. We are to be ones who discipline our children, who guide them in the right way to go. That's really what the word discipline means. It means to lead them in the right direction for a good purpose. God, it doesn't say God punishes us. God disciplines us so that we might live according to his will and plan. Your parents, when you are godly parents to your children, you are guiding them and leading them through the process of discipline to a good end for them. You are leading them in the way that God wants you to lead them. He says here, from here on out, I'll use parents. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger. Or parents, do not give your children a reason to grow up angry. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 mirrors this very thing. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged. Literally, this means do not provoke your children to anger so that they begin to seethe with resentment and irritation like sap swelling in a tree on a hot day. Such exasperation can be done in a number of ways. And I want to take just a few minutes to talk about how that can happen. The first one is this: when you are unreasonable to them, when you are acting in an unreasonable way. I'm sure you guys have seen it either in the grocery store or on the baseball field or at some other event that's happening. You see a father who is not doing the best he could do in that moment because he is so demanding of his child that he would be this kind of person rather than looking at the child and saying, you know what? We all struggle. I struggle, you struggle. But they speak to them in a way that is not demanding an unreasonableness. Some parents ask things beyond a child's ability. Ever been in that situation? Or seen it happen, either in the store or whatever? Sometimes it can happen at church. How about a fault-finding parent? Ever been around a person who is always finding fault in his children? You hear him or her speaking to them, not in an encouraging way, but that you're dumb, you're stupid, you don't make good decisions. That's a very belittling thing. Rather than striving to discipline your child in those moments and to help them value who they are as a person. One of the things that we have discovered is that children get their self-esteem, boy or girl, primarily get their self-esteem from the way their father treats them. That can be negative or positive. I'm telling you what this passage of Scripture says. Make that a positive event. It's not that you have to do it all the time. You're going to make mistakes. That's part of life. But be willing to own that. I know for my kids, there were many times I messed up. But I was always willing to come back to them and say, this is on me. This is what I failed to do in that situation and how I should have handled it. Be willing to say that to your kids. It's not going to make you less of a parent. It's going to help them see in relationships, sometimes you need to ask forgiveness. Sometimes you are the person who has offended somebody or who have caused them to see that offense, and you and I need to be willing to own it and to say, hey, I did this, this is what happened. I tell couples that I when I do their pre-marriage counseling, I tell them that your home is the lab your children learn relationships in. If they don't have a good relationship with you, the likelihood is they're not going to have a good relationship with someone else that they think is like you down the road. They are looking to you for guidance and direction. We want to make sure that that guidance and direction is not belittling them, but helping them rise above that. And the next time as they face that struggle, they face it with the knowledge of knowing what the right thing to do is. Another common way to provoke your children is inconsistency. That means when we are exercising discipline, or when we are telling them, I'm going to do this. If you are here today and you've had a parent say to you, I'll be there when you get home, and that parent is not there. And this happens not once, it happens multiple times. The illustration that was told in a commentary was this child who his father left the home, and his mother could not provide for him, and he had to be put in an orphanage. And each and every day, he would climb out on the up the gate that was in front of the orphanage, and he would look for his father. But his father never came. That is a sense of inconsistency. You don't teach a child that by your actions. That's not what this passage is talking about. When you and I practice inconsistency, we help them learn how to be inconsistent in their life. Not consistent. And not focused. So as we look at this passage, it's telling us this is something parents should do. Certainly it's something that fathers should do. And when we do it, we bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What He has for your child. Now just think with me for just a minute. God placed you in a family. You didn't make that decision. Most of us were placed in that by God's sovereignty. He had a purpose in placing us in the family that we were in. He is exercising His sovereignty by doing so. And you and I must recognize His authority in doing that. When we recognize His authority in doing that, we come to a place to where we look with confidence at the authority that is practiced by our father, our mother, asking us to do something. That is a demonstration of what it means for fathers not to provoke your children to anger. Parents, don't cause your children to grow up as an angry person, struggling with relationships. You know, a lot of times, what we discover is when people have problems in relationships, it's because, not every single time, I'm not trying to say that, but the majority of the time, it's because of issues that they have in their family, issues that they have with their parents, or issues that they may have by a parent not following through with what he or she says, not doing what God desires them to do. So we are living in a day where people, excuse me, are looking at our lives, how we live in the family. And we live in the family by living in the Spirit. You are going to be your best for your family when you are walking and abiding by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, which is what Paul said earlier in this passage in chapter 3. He said, chapter 5, verse 18, he said, "Do not get drunk with wine in which there is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." I want you to think for just a moment. Think about your life in your family, with your children, with your grandchildren. Are you living by the power of the Holy Spirit in your family? That is what this passage of Scripture is teaching us. And the context goes back to chapter 5, verse 18, for how we live in our marriage, how we live with our children, and how our children live with us. And next week, we're going to talk about how we live with those at our job, those that we work with, that we spend time with, living by the power of the Spirit. Let me share with you why this is so important. It is so important because they have done a study of 56 different school shooters. And those 82% of them had some issue at home. Some issue that they were dealing with. Some challenge that they were facing. Maybe they were mad at their mom or they were mad at their dad and they reflected that in what they did. That was their attitude. 82%. That's a high percentage. According to a 2010 report released by the Pew Charitable Trust, there are 1,100,000 fathers in jail. Now, what's happening in those homes when a father is incarcerated? This is for children under the age of 17. Many people will act out the anger that they feel over some circumstance that has happened in their family. Sometimes we don't have anything to do with that. It's just who they are as a person, their thing, the environment that they have grown up in. But I want to say to you today, God wants us to do better. He wants us to live a life that acknowledges that our children, our grandchildren, they are the creation of God. Let us not demean that. Let us encourage them. You know, they did a study, Josh McDowell did one several years ago about the most effective parents. And this is what they found. The most effective parents were strong in disciplinary ways. And they were also loving toward their children. They were the most disciplined, but they were also the most loving. Paul speaks to us about that reality here in Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3. It is the way we are to show the world that we are different by the way we live in our home, by the way we treat them, by the way that they treat us. It shows by the actions, not so much by the words that we would say. So you and I have been charged with a responsibility as parents. I say that, you and I, because I am one, and I'm a grandparent. Our task is to be faithful to the children that God has created and the children that God has placed in our lives. And can you imagine what our world would be like if everybody did that? Can you imagine how different our nation would be? Can you imagine how different the world would be if we lived by what God has told us here in His Word? That's the challenge for us, day by day, week by week, year by year. As we grow, our children also grow in their understanding. And when they see us growing to be like God, they're going to want to be like God too. Let's pray together.